Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 178 of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you want to check out any of the resources that we mention in this episode, you can go to the show notes page, which is www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode178. And you can also find the links to Cara's website there. Some of you may remember Cara from before. She did an episode, an interview episode with me a number of months ago now. But she's back to talk about something else now. So all the links for Cara's website and social media will be on the show notes page as well. Hope you enjoy our interview. Okay, so some of you may remember Cara from before. She did an interview with me a while ago now about English for French speakers. But she's back now, and we're going to be talking about another topic. We're going to be talking about listening and how you can improve your listening skills and also improve yourself, like looking at personal development and other things that are not just listening exercises for the sake of listening and improving your English, but also that you actually benefit and learn something as well. So thanks, Cara, for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kirsty.
Yeah, it's good to chat to you again. But for those who don't know you, could you maybe start by telling us something about who you are and what you do?
Yes, I certainly can. So I run the website leolistening.com. And that's where I help intrepid travelers and adventurous expats understand fast talking native English speakers through movies. That's a very long introduction, but yeah, that's pretty much what I do. So, you know, that involves improving your listening skills so you can actually understand people and then also sound more natural yourself in English, because if your listening improves, then you can hear what people are saying, which makes it nicer when you talk to them. And you can also pick up words and expressions that they use when they talk fast, and you can use them yourself. So it's a win-win.
I think that's really good for people as well, like listening to something they want to listen to anyway, like a movie, like a hobby, something that you would do in your free time. So it's using that to learn English rather than going to listen to stuff that you would never listen to again or don't maybe find interesting. You're helping people to use what they're already interested in.
That is a really good point. Yeah, a lot of people are motivated to watch movies, but then they get frustrated when they do because they can't understand them. So yeah, that's where you know most people need a bit of help bridging that gap. So that's what I'm here to help people do, basically, explain to them why English is so difficult to catch when people speak it fast. And especially in movies, where I think sometimes movie dialogue is really hard, even if you're a native speaker. So it's good to use something challenging, but you know, you don't need to feel bad if you struggle to understand movies, because they are hard.
Yeah, and they're fast and people talk at the same time and there's emotion, and it's not like it's scripted, but it's not like something like a documentary where the people really want you to understand everything. That, you know, it's like real speech, and people don't always speak clearly in real speech. So the movie the movie is the same.
Yes, that's a good point.
So why do you think some students find it hard to find good listening resources? What do you think some of the problems are, and what can they do about that?
Yeah, so this is interesting. Well, I guess that kind of comes back to the issue of something like movies, because I guess for English, the problem isn't really resources, because, you know, everything is in English. The internet is in English. You can pretty much find whatever you want in English. And I think the problems come when people, you know, try to use things like movies kind of by themselves, and it's too hard and it's too much. And because most people haven't learned how to actually catch fast English, they get stuck. So I think when it comes to English, there's not so much a resource issue. There's more of a kind of method and technique issue. Because I have a lot of people say to me, oh, you know, the things you teach, we never learned that at school. Like they never sort of systematically explained, okay, this is how native speakers talk when they talk fast. Here's what they do. Here are the sounds that they change, or, you know, these very practical things. I think people are just expected to sort of like listen to, you know, off air, we were talking about, you know, sort of exam type listening material, which is very sort of artificial, and people are just expected to listen to it and then do the exam and then that's it, as if that prepared you for real life, you know, and it doesn't, unfortunately. So that said, I do agree with you that motivation is really important. So, you know, we mentioned that with movies, like most people are sort of motivated to persevere, even if it's hard, because, like, you know, it's a movie, there's a cool story, you want to know what happens. So I think motivation is key. And then also, like you said, there are documentaries and then there are movies with dialogue. And even if you find a documentary easier, which is normal because, like you say, they're designed to be educational and slow, it's not the type of English that we use in real life. You know, in real life, what most people are interested in is understanding the people they're having conversations with, either one-on-one or in groups. So that's where it's more useful, I would say, to listen to something like a movie or a podcast interview, because you're actually listening to people in a dialogue, people exchanging, and that's going to be more useful to you, in terms of preparing you for actual conversation, as opposed to, you know, sort of understanding documentaries. I think most people don't struggle too much with that, because it is a different type of listening.
Yeah, I mean, I've used them for Turkish because my Turkish isn't as good as, say, my German, and I do use them because I know they're going to be slower and they do let people finish speaking and, you know, all these things. So I think, you know, like there's a place for both. But if you want to, certainly if you want to think about your speaking, and I think that's another thing people forget, that listening skills isn't just about listening. It's also about becoming a better speaker, because if you hear some new vocabulary or a new expression, then you can use that as well. So if listening isn't your favorite thing, then you can also see it as a way to help you to become a better speaker as well.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if you are listening to conversation, it's interesting because you can observe how people interact, how they take turns, how they switch topics, all these things that, you know, kind of go beyond just learning vocabulary and grammar. You also need strategies for all these things, you know, greeting people, interrupting, changing topic, you know, all these things are important too. And yeah, if you pay attention when you're listening, I think you can really improve your language skills quite dramatically, because you can pick up so many things if you pay attention, and you can, you know, test them out yourself. And that's definitely something I did after I moved to France. I actually sort of enjoyed sometimes, like, not always contributing in conversation and just kind of listening and trying to pick out like useful phrases that I kept hearing, kind of noticing the patterns in conversation, and then like, okay, I'm going to try this out for myself. I mean, eventually some of that does happen unconsciously when you're really immersed in the language, but yeah, it's interesting to kind of try and spot things and be like, okay, I'm going to try using this expression that I keep hearing and see, you know, if I'm using it right by actually testing it in conversation myself.
Yeah, I did that a lot in Germany when I was learning, because sometimes, certainly with the school exchange I went on, actually I learned more in that week of just being with the family and listening to them. They talked to me as well, of course, but just observing. I went back home and my German was so much better because of that experience, because we were quite strict about only speaking German in Germany and English in England. And yeah, it was great. So people tend to either love it or hate it. I found, like, with the listening and speaking, particularly, people either really enjoy them or really don't. But if anyone's listening now and listening isn't your thing, then thinking about all these other ways it can benefit you. It's not just about, you know, being able to listen. It's also about being able to consume things that interest you, like films or podcasts. Mm. And it's also about developing your speaking skills.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can tell the difference between people who've been listening a lot in their speaking, even if they maybe don't have so many opportunities to interact with native speakers. A lot of listening can still help you with that. So yeah, no, it definitely has a lot of knock-on benefits if you learn how to do it properly.
Yeah, and that can also be learning. So I know we mentioned earlier about personal development and how listening, it's not just something you do to become a better listener, but you can also find some really good resources to help you with personal development. How can people work on their personal development and work on their listening skills at the same time? Do you have any tips for that?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, well, that's an area where there's a lot of material, I would say. I mean, to be honest, I think for most topics that people are interested in, it's just going to be a question of like putting that kind of keyword, that topic area into, you know, Google or YouTube or into a podcast app and just looking at what comes up. That's already a really good kind of starting point. I mean, in terms of specific resources, I mean, one thing you can do actually is if you're already like consuming content by sort of people in the personal development world, I mean, you might want to see, for example, do they have a podcast or have they been invited onto podcasts to be interviewed? So even if they don't have their own one, they might have been a guest on other podcasts, and that could be interesting because then you'll hear that person, you know, being interviewed and chatting with someone. So that could be one way to do it, or looking on YouTube as well to see if they've been interviewed anywhere.
That's a really good tip. I thought of like checking out whether people have their own, but yeah, if you put their name into the search in the podcast app or in YouTube, then yeah, it's another way to find possibly interacting with different people as well, which is always interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess with both of those, well, most podcast apps that I know of and also YouTube, you can change the speed. So if you are finding it a bit too fast, you could reduce that a bit, at least for the beginning, if you really want to catch something. I think it's better to listen to things at the normal speed because that's normal conversation. But if you're really struggling with part of it, there's always that option.
Yeah, you would have that. Yeah, you would have that option also. What's handy in I think the main podcasting app I'm using now is Spotify. So its search function is pretty good, and you can choose to search specifically in podcasts because it will also bring up like music and things that might be irrelevant. Yeah, what I like in podcast apps is the fact you can go backwards and forwards just by 15 seconds or 30 seconds. So if you've missed something, you've always got that possibility. Yeah, because I was thinking about people who've got podcasts who are in kind of the personal development field. I mean, Brené Brown has one now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fairly recent actually, but it's quite long because most of the episodes are interviews. So she's had like one or two kind of solo podcasts, kind of monologues, but most of them are sort of long form interviews. But I mean, there's nothing to stop you, you know, breaking that down. I mean, because what's good about interviews is obviously there's the question and answer format. So, you know, you might just choose to listen to one kind of section of it, a question and answer, and then maybe pause and come back. You know, you don't have to consume it kind of all at once. Mm. So, yeah, that could be a good way to do it.
Yeah, because it'll keep your place. And, you know, there's different types of listening, aren't there? There's listening to get the general gist of it, the kind of experience, or there's listening to really drill down into exactly what the person said. And it will depend on what type of listening you want to do as to how much you can take in at one time.
That's true. And I mean, you can do different levels, different types of listening with the same resource for sure. But you might choose with a podcast just to kind of work with it a bit passively initially, especially if it's long, and then come back later and kind of drill down. I think the only disadvantage with podcasts is that they don't always have transcripts, and I'm a big fan of having a transcript if you can, if you're, you know, able to use that. So that's where YouTube can be better, because you do have the option in YouTube to not only to use subtitles, but also to open something called the interactive transcript. So if you're on YouTube on the desktop version, you have like these three little dots under the video. And if you click on that, it gives you the option to open the transcript. And that actually brings up the full transcript of the video.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
It's a really cool feature. I don't think it's available on the app on a phone, which is a bit annoying, but it is on the desktop. So yeah, that's quite cool, because then you can actually click on each line to play it. So then that's really useful for when you're sort of drilling down a bit more and checking things and having a look to see, oh, okay, is there sort of new vocabulary here, or am I hearing a familiar word that sounds different for whatever reason? So that's useful for that. And that's where I think it can be interesting to look for sort of short interviews if possible. Things like, I can't think of the word now, talk shows. Usually, okay. If you go onto the YouTube channels of sort of famous talk shows like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or The Ellen Show, the videos tend to be sort of, you know, just a few minutes long. And I don't know, I imagine you can find sort of, well, they interview a lot of like celebrities, like actors and singers and things like that. But I mean, they might also interview people from other fields too. You just have to kind of explore. But yeah, those videos are nice because they're quite short. And often the subtitles can be accurate.
Yeah, that's another problem, isn't it? Sometimes they're a bit strange. They don't always pick up exactly what people said. So use them with
a bit of caution.
Be aware that it might not be exactly right. And if you think something sounds strange, then it may not be that the person actually said that. It may just be a mistake with the transcript.
Yeah, definitely if they're automatic. Although you can search YouTube for accurate subtitles as well. And well, often I find on the on the talk show channels, they tend to, you know, kind of review the videos and correct the captions so that they're accurate when they get published. So, but again, that might be something you need to explore as you search for videos on the topics that interest you. You know, you can filter the search to, you know, to look for videos with accurate subtitles.
Yeah, and I guess another thing would be audiobooks, because that's going to the other end of the scale. It's long rather than a few minutes. But if you really want to get into a topic, or maybe if you already know a book or like the way that somebody writes, then you may be able to get their books as audiobooks as well.
Yep, that is a good point. Just people should be aware though that usually audiobook narration is quite slow. So we're kind of closer to the documentary kind of style of speaking, and not so close to kind of like fast dialogue style. But I agree, yeah, depending on your goal, if your goal is more kind of getting the topical knowledge in English to talk about the topic, then I think an audiobook can be a good way to go. And then if you've got the physical book or the written book in some kind of format plus the audiobook, that can be interesting as well if you want to check things and or go back over things.
Yeah, a lot of them have like the Kindle edition available as well, so you can follow along. That's true. Actually, I hadn't thought about that because I usually play audiobooks at double speed. So yeah, there is.
Well, you could do that. You could do that as well. Yeah, I mean, you could definitely make things like that more challenging. Something that's a monologue, you could test yourself by listening to it on double speed. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I guess the main thing, like we said at the beginning with films, is find something that interests you. So whether it's an individual whose work interests you, or a topic, you know, how to improve this area of my life or business or finances or relationships or whatever it is that you want to work on. Find something that you have the motivation to read about or to listen to something about, because then that will really help you on the days when you think, oh, I can't be bothered with this. You know, if you're already interested, then that will kind of drive you on a bit to keep going with it.
Yeah, to keep going and possibly come back to the same resource and listen to it multiple times. Or, you know, if it's a book and you're really motivated to listen to the next chapter, then that could be good as well. You know, something that keeps you going. TV shows that you get addicted to, it's the same thing. You've got that like momentum that keeps you coming back.
Yeah, because I think what I say to my students sometimes is, you know, if you wouldn't consume this content in your native language, why do you think suddenly when it's in English you're going to find it really interesting? You know, like if you're at school or if you have to do something for an exam, then you don't really get any choice. But when you're studying on your own, you have the choice about what you can use and what's going to be interesting and useful for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I think it's quite maybe it's daunting for people to have that option and that level of control, especially because, you know, in English it's almost overwhelming the number of things you could potentially choose. But I think, yeah, instead of worrying about like what's the best thing or the worst thing, it's more important to reflect on what you need. Actually, I just published a YouTube video about that. It was based on the fact that, you know, people, there's a lot of videos in this sort of English learning kind of space that are about, you know, the top 10 movies or the top 10 TV series. And I was just making the point that because I don't know each one of you personally, like I can't tell you what are the top, like I could say what are my top TV series that I like watching, but you might hate them. And again, TV shows, that's something where there's just so much now. It's really crazy. So I kind of put together some reflection questions to help people kind of choose for themselves. Because again, like resources aren't a problem. If you have some kind of streaming service, there's going to be like so much choice, and then the algorithm is going to start suggesting stuff to you, and you know, you might not know what to sort of watch next. But you know, well, I think it's nice to ask for recommendations, but you also really have to reflect, you know, kind of personally, you know, what do I like, you know, what do I want.
Yeah, because like with even something like with Netflix, like I have my profile, my partner has his profile, and they are very different. Like some things we watch together, but you know, it depends what you're into, doesn't it? And just because your friend likes something, it doesn't mean that you're going to enjoy it as well.
Exactly.
And the same goes for English teachers. You know, just because the English teacher says something's good, it doesn't mean it is. It might be good for a specific reason, like it's clear dialogue or something like that. But you know, we all of our recommendations are influenced by our taste and our own likes to some extent.
So. Exactly. And even just what's popular more generally, because sometimes I see lists and I'm just like, well, this is just the same as what everybody else is saying. Like, how is it, you know, how is it useful? Or I see things that just don't seem very relevant to English learners. Like, just because the show was popular doesn't mean it's useful for learning English. But that even comes down to things like if someone is a lawyer, you might suggest that they watch Ally McBeal or Suits or something like that, like a TV series that takes where they're going to hear that type of language. Or they might want to watch a cop show because they work for the police or in, you know, there's even specific types of shows where you could pick up the language you need for your job potentially.
But obviously medical ones.
Yeah, medical ones, brilliant. I've picked up medical terms from watching hospital dramas. I certainly don't, you know, don't work in a medical field. It just, you know, but there's things like that, and that would be totally irrelevant to somebody who doesn't do any of those professions. Well, I suppose they might enjoy them anyway, but again, I don't know that, like, you know, I can't tell people this is the TV series that you must watch because of XYZ. There's not really a definitive best one. It's which one is best for you. That's the real question.
Giving people the tools to figure out what's the best for them. I think I will ask, I won't ask you now for the exact link, but I will add the link to that video into the show notes page for this episode. But apart from that, what other ways can people get in touch with you or find out about your work, or where are you on social media?
Well, I guess the best place is to, the simplest thing is just come to my website. So that's www.leo-listening.com. And then from there, you can download my mini movie guide and join my newsletter. And that will teach you a bit more about using movies to improve your English listening skills. And then other than that, people can find me on YouTube. Again, under the name Leo Listening, and that's about it. Yeah, that's the two main places.
Okay, well, I will add those links to the show notes page. And
great.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us today. It's been great to pick up some tips from you. And yeah, thank you for that. And to everyone else, have a good week and have fun learning English.
Thanks, Kirsty.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.